Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, we are in chapter 9. You'll recall that the church in Jerusalem was scattered because of the persecution that was largely led by Saul of Tarsus. And you have some reports that we've looked at of things that God was doing as believers went out from Jerusalem, particularly the deacon Philip, who was used by God as an evangelist and who had a tremendous ministry in Samaria. And then God took him out into the desert where he ministered to an Ethiopian eunuch. And now we pick up the story in chapter 9. This is God's word. "Now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and requested letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any men or women who belonged to the way, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he traveled and was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul said. 'I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting,' he replied. 'But get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the sound but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. He was unable to see for 3 days and did not eat or drink. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias?' 'Here I am, Lord,' he replied. 'Get up and go to the street called Straight,' the Lord said to him, 'to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so that he may regain his sight.' 'Lord,' Ananias answered, 'I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has authority here from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Ananias went and entered the house. He placed his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' At once, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some time. Immediately, he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. 'He is the Son of God.' All who heard him were astounded and said, 'Isn't this the man in Jerusalem who was causing havoc for those who called on this name and came here for the purpose of taking them as prisoners to the chief priests?' But Saul grew stronger and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had passed, the Jews conspired to kill him, but Saul learned of their plot. So they were watching the gates day and night, intending to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the wall. When he arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, since they did not believe he was a disciple. Barnabas, however, took him and brought him to the apostles and explained to them how Saul had seen the Lord on the road and that the Lord had talked to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. Saul was coming and going with them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He conversed and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers found out, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. When Stephen was being stoned to death, Saul stood by watching everybody's cloaks, because killing people that way actually is requiring exertion. And so they had taken off their outer garments and they put them at Saul's feet. And Saul, it says, was giving his consent. He supported the stoning death of Stephen. Then, not satisfied with that first death of Christians, he began rounding up believers and leading a great persecution, getting other people to join in persecuting the Christians, so much so that the believers were scattered from Jerusalem. And now, not satisfied with chasing them out of town, he gets letters from the chief priests authorizing him to go from town to town and round up any believers he can find, dragging them out of their homes and persecuting them. This is Saul of Tarsus. If you were looking for an evangelist, if you were looking for another apostle, if you were looking for someone to write more of the New Testament than anyone else, what would you think about the idea of enlisting him? I mean, I wouldn't enlist him for lunch. I want this guy eliminated. I want God to wipe him out. I can't believe that God lets people get away with things like that. But God, who is rich in mercy, chose to save this enemy of the gospel and make him one of the greatest proponents of the gospel, expositors of the scriptures in all of history. The amazing grace of God. The Apostle Paul says, Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He says, I was so bad, God saved me in order to make it clear that if he can save me, he can save anybody. That's what Paul says in his letter to Timothy, describing why God would choose somebody like him. It's not because Paul was really basically good. No, the heart is deceitfully wicked. You and I are not saved because we're good people. We're not saved because down deep we want to do the right thing. Down deep we want to get away with doing the wrong thing. We are by nature sinners, and God gives us a new nature. He takes away the heart of stone, gives us a heart of flesh. He changes us from the inside out. God does in and for us what otherwise would be impossible and what, frankly, apart from God's grace, is unthinkable. Why in the world would God save Saul of Tarsus? Because he chose to. He deliberately chose the ones we wouldn't pick. That's what Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians. He says, think about your calling. Where'd you come from? Not many wise, not many of noble birth. You're not the A-team in the eyes of the world. And so God said, watch what I can do with these folks. And God is doing great things all over the world through his body, the church. Amazing things are happening. So, Saul was still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. But on his way, as he traveled and was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him, and it was so powerful an experience, he fell to the ground. Okay? This is like lightning. And he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Notice Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? Because when people persecute Christians, God doesn't just take it personally. The fact is, we are his body. Greater is the one who is living in me than he who is living in the world. Jesus lives in the believer. Jesus isn't just walking by our side. He is living the resurrection power in and through us. Now, the devil does not want Christians to really know that and believe that. Because if we start to realize that God lives in and through us, we will be much less likely to say, well, I just couldn't resist the temptation. Well, I just can't help it. Well, after all, I'm only human. If you have been born again, you're not only human. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God has given his life to you. And we are in him and he is in us. There's intimacy with God for the believer. So, Jesus said, you're persecuting me. Who are you, Lord? Saul said. I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting, he replied. But get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. This is an abbreviated account. It's true, it's absolutely true, but it doesn't have all the details. If you were to read in Acts chapter 22 and in Acts chapter 26, you'd get a little more of what Jesus said to Saul of Tarsus. But you see, Saul was in the process of being converted from Saul to Paul. He went from being Saul the persecutor to Paul the apostle, the one sent out by the Lord. But the first place he was sent was into the city where he was going to persecute the Christians, and he spends 3 days totally blind and not eating or drinking anything. He's just spending time with the Lord. So when Ananias comes, he doesn't share the gospel with him. He comes and just does what God told him to do. He baptizes him and calls him brother, because God has revealed to Ananias that this man's already been converted. He has been changed by God's grace. I want us to understand God is the one who saves. It's not something we do. We don't save ourselves. We don't even partly save ourselves. We are saved by God's grace. His Spirit takes the blinders off our eyes, changes, as I said a moment ago, that heart of stone into a heart of flesh. He gives us new life. It's from him. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, lest anyone should boast. God saves us. I want to just ask you, have you been saved? Because you can't save yourself. Well, if God saves us and I can't save myself and I don't think I've been saved, what do I need to do? Ask him to save you. Ask him to save you. Cry out to him. Ask him to have mercy on you. Say, God, I don't feel like I'm alive. I don't really trust you the way I know I should. I don't know you the way that I know I should. Please, God, have mercy on me. Save me. And if you do that, you know what? I don't just bet he will. I guarantee he will. You know why? Because he promised. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Nobody comes begging God to save them and God says, no, I don't think so, not you. You're not one of the elect. The only people who come asking God for salvation are those whom God chose before the foundation of the world. It's not based on what we do.
You say, so you're saying that whether a person receives Jesus or not, those who are supposed to be saved are going to be saved.
No, I'm saying the people who receive him are those in whom God has done a miraculous work of grace so that from first to last, salvation is of the Lord. He deserves all the praise. And if you want case A, if you want the perfect example of that, Paul says, I'm it. I'm your poster child for total depravity and radical salvation. Okay? He was the persecutor of the church. And God said, that's my man. I'm going to save him. I would have voted against it. Okay, just as Saul was giving his consent for Stephen to be stoned, I would not have given my consent for Saul to be saved. Okay? I would have said, no, no, no. And Ananias does that. When the Lord tells him to go and minister to Saul, he says, Lord, I've heard a lot about this guy. Now, who are you talking to when you pray? Do you ever try and fill God in on the facts? Let me tell you something. God knows every detail about every one of us. Jesus said he knows how many hairs are on top of our head. Do you think you need to fill God in? Ananias tries to explain to God who Saul is. I've heard from many people about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has authority here from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said, go. Go. Do what I told you. Go, for this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. He's my chosen instrument. See, Saul didn't earn it. God didn't need him. God chose him. God doesn't need us, but he's chosen us. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So the Lord had told Ananias, get up and go to the street called Straight, to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so that he may regain his sight. So God told Ananias, I want you to go to this place and do this for me. And God told Saul, who becomes Paul, I want you to receive what's about to happen when a man named Ananias comes in here and lays hands on you. God's speaking to both of them, preparing them for what they're to do. Did you know that God still communicates with people? Some people think he doesn't. They think, well, no, we've just got the book. We just read the book and try and figure it out. Well, this is God's word by which we judge all impressions and sense of God's leading. But let me tell you something. God is still leading people today and directing people to do things. And if you want to be obedient to God, you better listen. Now, check it out in the Word. Don't just go by what you feel. If what you feel doesn't line up with Scripture, you're feeling the wrong thing. I sometimes feel like punching people, but I know that's not scriptural. Okay? But sometimes, hear me, I believe God is leading me to do something I don't feel like doing. And it lines up with His Word. And I think, oh, Lord, please, I don't want to do that. And the Lord says, go, for I'm sending you. So Ananias went. He entered the house, placed his hands on him, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Question. Why didn't God just do it? I mean, did God need Ananias to lay hands on him in order to heal Saul? No. But Saul needed to be connected with the body. And the body needed to start recognizing that Saul was a new man. In the body of Christ, we are supposed to function in connection with one another. And so Ananias was sent by God to do what God could have done but didn't want to do without Ananias. Lay hands on Saul, pray for him. He receives healing and is filled with the Holy Spirit. And so Saul then begins traveling around and proclaiming the good news. And people are amazed. The believers are kind of afraid to accept him. And the people who he used to be working with and is now proclaiming the good news to become so angry they're trying to kill him. Everywhere he goes, all through this section that we read, people get so mad at Saul that they want to kill him. Those who've been converted put him in a basket and lower him over the wall through an opening in the wall, kind of a, you know, not the way you want to have your career. Okay? I mean, it was an embarrassing way to get out of town. And finally, after one incident followed by another incident followed by another incident, it says they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was strengthened. They sent him away for a while. Because everywhere he went, he stirred up trouble. Let me tell you something. God says, this is my instrument, and I'm going to use him. And God would. And we're going to see all through the book of Acts, one story after another of God supernaturally using this man who'd been an enemy of Jesus, now as a servant of Jesus. I want to ask you, do you realize that until you come to Christ, you're his enemy? Not because he's out to get you and hurt you, but because the human heart in its natural state is hostile toward God. And yet God, who is rich in mercy, has chosen to take enemies like us and change us into his dearly loved children and use us for his glory. God's intention for you is that you would serve him, not to earn his love, but in order to show the love that he already has for you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.